Amen. And so this week, as we are in the third week of Advent, that this is the joy Sunday, the joy candle, the shepherd's candle, and we talk about how the shepherds receive this fantastic news. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Alright? That was not a message that went out to the wise. That was not a message that went out to the rich. That was not a message that went out to the merchants. It went out to the lowest of the low. You couldn't get a job doing anything else. You'd hire out as a shepherd. Amen? And so anyhow, this is a cooler part of the year. Believe me, Christmas time is not December 25th. All right. During the latter parts of November and all through December and January, the sheep are not in the fields at night. They are brought in from the pastures at the close of the day, and they're kept in the barn. It's too cold at night. And so this is probably sometime in autumn, and my thoughts personally is that this is at the Feast of Tabernacles. Because the Feast of Tabernacles means God tabernacles with us. And that's what Emmanuel is. That's what Jesus' name is, that God is tabernacling with us. And so all of that aside, the message goes out to people who even us, if we were to pass them on the street, probably wouldn't pay much attention to them. If our attention was drawn to them, that it might be our attention was drawn to their less than substandard clothing, to their unshaven appearance, to their messed up hair or whatever. This was not somebody that you would walk down the street with your children and say, "See? This is what I want you to be like when you grow up." Okay? And so, but God chose these shepherds to send the choirs of heaven to them to sing the song that proclaimed, that announced the birth of the Savior. Amen? And I want you to see something that they said, "We had better go check this out." They understood that to them was given this announcement of great importance, and we had better go spread the word, which they did, and went to find this baby lying in a manger as was prophesied, as was told to them. They responded. They obeyed. While on the other hand, the theologians, the religious leaders, the political leaders, they completely ignored the report of the wise men. The wise men, who weren't even Jews, they were probably Persians, and they came in because they had recognized the announcement that God had given in the heavens. They came in and they just made the assumption that a king of such high stature would obviously be born in the palace. And so they made the mistake of going to the palace. "Hey, we are here to celebrate with you all the birth of the King of Kings." And the king looks at his helpers and his, "Who are these guys talking about?" And they said, "Well, let's go ahead and look in the Bible, and yeah, sure enough, there's something supposed to happen, and it's supposed to happen in Bethlehem, not in here," and there was really no response. Tell these morons from the east that he's not here, but go on to Bethlehem, because that's where our Bible says he's going to be born. So what was the response of the educated? What was the response of the religious? What was the response of the political elite? They ignored it. But the shepherds, those scraggly, smelly, oh yeah, you've been hanging with the sheep. You know you're going to smell good. All right? They were the ones who were obedient. Amen? And so, this third candle, the Godhead, the joy candle, is talking about, yes, the joy that the shepherds had when they received this message from the angels, but also that joy motivated them to get up off of their, wherever they were sitting, and let's go check this out. Amen? I don't know what preparations. Did they leave somebody behind? You watch over the sheep. We're going to go check this out. Let's go ahead and run the sheep into the barn real quick and we'll all go check. I don't know what provisions were made. All we know is they got up and they went to check it out. Amen? And because of the awesomeness of the message that they received, their lives were changed. Amen? Now, we're going to be going over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 this morning. And I want you to see what happens to us when we receive this joy when we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And so, over here, St. Paul is writing to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Okay? And so the thing that should typify our lives is a attitude of joy. Huh. Isn't that the third candle? Is that the joy candle? Is that the Godhead candle? Is that the shepherd's candle? That's right, joy. Joy should typify our lives. Now, I want you to notice something. We're not talking about happiness. And we've discussed this before. When you look at the origins of happiness, it's an old English word. And it comes from the word happenstance. Happenstance is what's happening around you. So if what's happening around you is good, you can be happy. If what's happening around you isn't good, then you're not happy. And so happiness requires nice things happening in your life. How many of you know that you're not always going to enjoy a happy day? Amen? Things happen. And you can go ahead and say, oh, I've got the victory. But the bottom line is that now, because of what has happened, a telephone call that you've received, or whatever is going on in your life, whatever has happened, now your plans are disrupted. Now your attention is averted. It's diverted, and now we have to pay attention to this. We haven't planned for this. And for those of you who know Pastor Dale likes to have everything planned out. Amen? You know, there's an old saying that the first casualty of war is Plan A. And the second casualty of war is Plan B. And so if you know me, I have plans A, B, C, D, and usually E. Okay? So a lot can go wrong before I start running out of ideas. But there is always going to be that something that is going to, no, this is what I was going to do with the rest of my day. No, I had this plan, and this is what I was going to do with my money. I had all of this planned out, and now I received this phone call, I received this text, I received whatever, and now my plans are changed. I'm glad that God does not say that His children should walk in happiness every day of our lives. Paul is not saying, be happy in the Lord always, and again I say, be happy. No. But the thing that he does say, and the thing that we do have as a result of God's peace, is joy. You see, when you have God's peace in your life, you know that God has everything under control. And I have learned that usually when everything is out of my control, then that's usually when God shows that He's got it under His control. Which means I have to blow through plan A, plan B, C, D, and E. Before I finally get to that place where I can have peace. I just like having things planned out. I don't like surprises. Well, guess what? God is the God of surprises. He loves it when people say, oh, you have to respond this way in this set of circumstances. Because He says, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Here, watch and see how that works out for you. And he doesn't. I told you all the story after I graduated from seminary. I figure I had God just figured out exactly. So much that I wrote a systematic theology. Now, for those of you that don't know what a systematic theology is, it's a small encyclopedia that says this is what happens and how God does this and how God does that. And so you have the study of theology and Christology and angelology and eschatology and all of these things that tell you exactly how God's going to, or what God's going to do and how He's going to do it. And he waited until I was all done with this, and then he systematically went through and said, no, that's not going to work. No, that's not going to work. No, that's... And he showed me that he is not going to be boxed in by my limited knowledge. Amen? I have learned one thing. Our God is a God of surprises. Amen? He truly is. Just in Terry's in my lifetime. Terry made a simple, not even a request. We were out with a group of people, and she said one time, you know, one thing I'd like to do is ride an elephant. And she just really wasn't saying, go out and find me an elephant to ride, but it was just a desire that she had. Well, it happened that we were ministering in a village that had a herd of working elephants. And so somebody in our group, probably Pastor Alexander, said, go out and find the tamest elephant that you have, because these are all working elephants, alright? They're let loose every night in the jungle. And they brought this little girl in, and she got down on the ground, and Sister Terry started climbing up on her, and Sister Terry found out that, you know, that elephants are mammals, and one of the characteristics of mammals is that all mammals have hair. And elephants have hair on their back. But it's not fine hair. It's like a porcupine on their back. And poor Sister Terry is on the back of this elephant like this, and the elephant smells fear, and off the elephant, well, plus Terry was kind of bleeding from getting stuck with those quills on the back of the elephant, and off the elephant goes, and I'm saying, it wasn't quite that bad. All right. But what a surprise. And say what you may, but Sister Terry's the only one of us two that has ever ridden on a wild elephant. Not bad, huh? All right. So, God is a God of surprises. And the Bible tells us in several different ways. He makes the sea monster for the sport of it. You know, who... He's just God sitting around one day and says, you know what this ocean needs? This ocean needs a good sea monster. Why? In King James it says for the sport of it. He didn't even have a good reason. Other than, I want to. And he's God. So if he wants a sea monster, he gets a sea monster. Amen? I don't know what happened to that sea monster. Hopefully they've all died off. All right? Okay. Hope there's no more sea monsters out there. But that is the God that we serve. He does these things. The diversity of His creation brings us so much joy and so much awe. He is a God of surprises. So why in heaven's name would I ever try to put my God in a box? And yet that's what we all try to do. Well, I'm going to pray this prayer and God has to answer this way. And God has to... No, God is going to do what's best in His eye, not in ours. So, we can rejoice, not because everything is hunky-dory, we rejoice because we have the peace of knowing that our God is in control. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Alright, this is the next command that St. Paul has for the Philippians. Alright, now he doesn't say, let your command of Scripture be known to everyone, that everybody stands in awe and says, oh, these people are so wise, they have such a fantastic grasp of Scripture. No, let your gentleness be known to everyone. And gentleness is strength under control. It's the same word that's translated meekness in the King James Version, alright? And the problem that we all have with meekness is that it rhymes with weakness. And we think that to be meek is to be weak, alright? But you are not gentle, you are not meek, unless you have the ability to be just the opposite. Otherwise, you're just a weak, meek individual. But when you have strength, when you have ability, when you have power, but you are willing to submit all of that to Jesus and just let your gentleness show forth. The best picture that I've ever found is that there's a picture that's on the internet of this great big muscle-bound bodybuilder, and he's holding his baby daughter in his hands. All right? That's gentleness. All right? He's not weak, but he is being meek because his strength is under control. All right? You guys that have had children or grandchildren put in your arms. Remember the first time that you had one? Ladies, you guys are just prepared from birth to handle babies. We're not. Okay? Well, they're kind of shaped like a football, but other than that, there's nothing that really prepares us for holding a baby. And so, sometimes we're a little bit, I can remember when our son, was put in my arms, and I just, okay, don't break it, whatever you do, you know. And it's just, and that's what meekness is. That's what gentleness is. And so, when people hear about us, they need to hear about, here's a group of people that they could be off doing their own thing, having their own fun, just prospering themselves, but they are sharing what God has given them to everyone around them. Amen? Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And that's our motivation. The Lord is near. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night. What was Israel's failure? They were saying, as we learned in Ezekiel, that, does God hear? Does God see? They had fallen into sin because they really didn't believe God. The children of Israel not believing in God? Not really. They said so with their mouths that, yes, we believe in Yahweh and all this good stuff. But then they would ask each other and say, God isn't hearing. God doesn't see. All right? So did they really believe in God? No. I believe there's a lot of Christians out there that act like there is no God. I'm doing this thing, I know, but God really doesn't see. God really doesn't hear. God really doesn't know what I'm doing. Yes, He does. He knows our heart. And so the whole motivation for us living the way that we're living, rejoicing and being gentle and our lives are touching and benefiting others, is because the Lord is here. Not only does He hear and does He see, but He's coming back pretty soon. Amen? And that should be all the motivation that we need. But then it says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's why we have peace. We know we have God's ear. Alright? Do not worry about anything. Right? And ladies, no offense, but one thing that I've noticed, you don't need any help in the worrying department. I remember my mother-in-law. She worried about every little thing, and if it ever came about that there was nothing to worry about, then she really started worrying. Okay, because something's coming. All right? And so, difficult times, yes, we all have them. The possibility of losing a loved one. The possibility of losing, you know, whatever we work for, house, car, bank accounts, whatever. I mean, there's always that. If you have something in this earth, all I can tell you is you don't own it, it owns you. Amen? And that's just how it is. Things of this earth will get a hold of you, and the decisions that you make are going to be based on these things that you think you own. And so, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It is nice knowing that if somebody asks the question, does God hear? Does God know? Yeah, He does. My God cares. My God knows what's going on in my life. And whether you like it or not, or admit it or not, or even aware of it or not, He knows what's going on in your life. Amen? And so we can let our requests be made known to Him with thanksgiving, because we know that He hears our requests. Amen? So if we're serving God, and we're going through a rough time, and we have just confessed it to God, God, I don't know what's going on. Believe me, Terry and I have been doing double duty on the prayers for the past few weeks. All right? And it's not like we've gone through life-threatening situations before. This is just, as I've said so many times, the adventure continues. Amen? The doctor said she wouldn't live a year in 86. She lived a year. Well, if she lives a year, she won't live 5 years. Well, that would have been 91. All right? And now this is 2024? Okay? I think she has far outlived what the doctor said. You know, and they told us right up, don't hope. There's no hope, Dale. Don't hope for a long... The doctor told us, you make your bucket list and get out there and do what you want to do because you've got a year to do it. That's it. You have a year to do it. And if by some fluke of a chance she lives a year, I can guarantee you it won't be five. I can guarantee... That was the best minds in medicine at the time. And we could have listened to them. And we could have just drawn back into a little cave and just said, okay, we're just going to live this next year, and that's it. But what we found out is that God knows what we're going through. And He doesn't practice medicine. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is medicine. Amen? And says, when you know that, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to say something, and this is the main thing of our message. Most of you know that there are no consonants in the Hebrew language. Okay? No, there are no vowels. A-E-I-O-U. Yeah. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language. And so, the word that we call Jehovah is, Y-W-E-W. Yahweh. Alright? Now, to say that in perfect Hebrew so that you're not putting any vowels in it, just exhale or inhale. That's how you say Yahweh. So what does that mean? That means the first word out of your mouth when you're born is God. The last word out of your mouth when you leave this earth is God. Your first breath and your last. He is the beginning of our life. He's the end of our life. And everything in between. And forever. So God can never forsake you. He can never forsake you. He was your first word. He will be your last. Amen? Because, why? Because He sent Jesus. And Jesus, it says He's our propitiation. Here's a $9 word. Back when $9 was something. It's a word that means Jesus supplied everything. Everything you needed was supplied in Jesus. And that plan of salvation was planned and carried out by the God who was your first breath and will be your last breath. Can you have peace? Oh yeah. Is He ever going to forsake you? Not on your worst day. Is He ever going to just leave you stranded to your own devices? He's your first breath. He's your last breath. And so in this holiday season, it's all about Emmanuel, God with us. And it just isn't with us. He's our beginning. He's our end. And He's everything in between. So Father God, we thank You.